Tiene una línea barroca cojonuda. Yo como tío tengo gracias a Dios. No, no, pero bueno, aparte de su vida, aparte de los jugadores, aparte de la
amor inconcebible. Yo opino que el todos los santos. Luis is an artist. He walks towards the railway station, carrying his tripod on one shoulder and his portfolio of work zipped up in an incongruously large leather case under his arm. He travels briskly, notwithstanding the fact that it is still very hot. He enjoys drawing at the station. He sets up his stand near the tracks, capturing the flows of passengers on and off the carriages. Although he only uses black ink and a scratchy old nib to create his images, he is such a master of the art that the empty white patches he leaves on his oversized papers can create the impression of light and shade, brightness, glaring, eye-burning sunlight, intensified by its journey through the glass panels that cover parts of the station roof. He delineates passengers coming and going, guards in their uniforms, the waiter at the coffee bar, slouching on a cast-iron pillar, stealing a sneaky cigarette in this no-smoking zone. He thinks about smoke, how the place was originally meant to be filled with the stuff. How, when the first trains arrived at this station in Alicante, they and their passengers did nothing but smoke all the way from Madrid. How the station filled with fumes from Havana cigars, cigarillos and pipes, not to mention the soot from the fires of the locomotives, burning Asturian coal, creating Segovian steam with water drawn from the reservoirs north of the capital. Often, this is the station Luis sketches. When he sets up his tripod near the left luggage office, it is almost as if he can remember it. Indeed, he can remember it by imagining it. On this day, Luis's eye, a remarkable thing that sometimes observes things from a perspective not occupied by the rest of his body, took him down the platform, away from the centre of the station. So that to his friends at the cafe, he appeared to be little more than a speck in the sunlight at the point where the tracks intermingle with the hazy horizon. Today, he would not draw the historical station, nor the station of today. He was concerned with the numbers and names of the carriages. That was not an uncommon occurrence. Luis isn't a train spotter. He would never admit to such a thing. But when the mood takes him, he can be an artist of reference numbers. At the end of the kilometre-long platform, far away from the roof, protected by his floppy grey hat, he spots some interesting rolling stock and begins to record their registrations. Huesca, Hamburg, DE, 15-998, and others like that. On Luis's paper, which measures exactly 1 metre by 1 metre, the numbers and letters explode into new life. They were captured by his hyperreal technique and rendered bigger and better, more lifelike than the actual serial numbers he can barely make out across the tangle of lines, electricity cables and points that divide Luis from the rusting brown goods carriages that someone had parked in a siding on the quiet side of the station. As well as the numbers, Luis paints the graffiti, huge bulbous lettering ballooning across the sides of most of the wagons, scrawled by artists with spray cans from all over Europe, adorn the stock. Dwonk, he reads on one carriage. Who is Dwonk? Is he a man or a woman? Or does Dwonk mean something in a language from one of the countries that the carriage has been dragged through? Perhaps it is a terrible insult. It seems Nordic, thinks Luis. Perhaps whilst the carriage was in Denmark or Sweden, someone had written Dwok in blue and yellow and green, all beautifully emphasized with black and white embellishments. Maybe there it meant fuck. And yet here in Alicante, where Luis scratches the word on his own paper, transforming it from colour into monochrome, yet somehow retaining its sense of colour, it looks to Luis more like a Germanic or Slavic name, or perhaps a kind of food. He's transfixed by the network, as every train spotter always has been. He knows he can trace a physical line across the surface of the earth from Alicante to Dwokland. The railway line is a kind of thread through the labyrinth. "I'll have a bowl of Dwok," mutters Luis, smiling to himself as he scrutinizes the carriage, marvelling at the wit of the original artist in some ice-bound marshalling yard, and thanking them for allowing him to find a little joke of his own by borrowing the trademark, or the Dwok mark. It is at this moment that Luis is asked to leave the station. The security guards monitoring the platforms, ever mindful of the threat of terrorism and the idea that behaviour that deviates from normal practice in a railway station might be viewed as a precursor to a terroristic act, had been watching Luis, standing by his easel, half a kilometre from the covered part of the station. He'd given them plenty to think about. By zooming their cameras in, they were able to make out that Luis was transcribing the numbers of the rolling stock. He was a train spotter. Whilst there are perhaps less train spotters in Spain than there are in other parts of, say, northern Europe, the activity is relatively well known and could be described as normal, even in Alicante. But when Luis began work on Dwok, things changed. What did it mean? Was it a message for them? Was this strange figure at the end of the platform, who often came to their station, about to end it all, either by throwing himself under the Alicante to Madrid Express, or by detonating himself with a Dwok? It was then, as underlings frantically googled Dwok, that the superintendent decided that enough was enough. Luis walks away from the station, his thoughts full of numbers and smoke. He looks back over his shoulder as he makes his way down the Avenida Salamanca. His grey eyes, his grey beard, his grey jacket, his grey trousers, his black shoes covered in dust, making them grey, his white shirt, which is no longer white, but grey, his grey fingernails match the grey concrete building behind him. He could be a concrete man. If Luis were to have seen himself framed by the Renfe station, labelled by the Renfe logo, which might have appeared above his grey hat, Luis would have cast himself in this light, a concrete man, dusted like a cake, making his way past the high blocks that turn the streets of Alicante into cool canyons. Luis begins to search, not as he had done before, in a pleasurable, or at least interesting, investigation of visual environments, more in a concerned, if not panicked, sense of someone who has lost something. He turns into the side streets, making his way back across the town by covering as much pavement as possible, because he knows that somewhere around here is his flatmate, Karl Heinz, the beggar from outside the bank on Pope Pius XI Square, who has been traumatized by the loss of his friend's briefcase. Luis has no time for Cliff, a language teacher from Cardiff and owner of the briefcase, who blags his way into and out of all situations. But Luis, who is an artist, has great respect for Karl Heinz, who, in Luis's estimation, in spite of himself, which may mean because of himself, is a good person. After an hour of walking, carrying his easel and his portfolio, checking all of Karl Heinz's usual haunts, Luis arrives at the back of El Corte Inglés, the department store. Here, where the delivery lorries descend into a vast oil-scented cave, impossible to see into with the naked eye, called the delivery mezzanine, Luis decides that he needs a drink. In the first bar that he finds, opposite the gaping mouth of the delivery mezzanine, his suspicion that something's afoot is aggravated. The woman, serving drinks, looks at him as he stops over the threshold. She has red horns emerging from her tightly tied black hair, and she has sharpened and lengthened her incisors so that they droop over her red lips. Her fingers have long purple nails on them, curling into unsightly talons. Her eyes fascinate Luis. The irises are bright red. "Do you like my eyes?" she smiles as she pours Luis a caña, pushing it carefully towards him so that it stands next to the silver serviette dispenser as if slotting into a still life. Luis is uncertain. Now he realizes that something is up. He knows the significance of the serviette dispenser, how stories like this one have been appearing in them without rhyme or reason throughout town. All over the city as the sun sets, people dressed as devils, zombies and witches are appearing. Outside, in Calle Portugal, Luis becomes aware of more devilish-looking creatures moving up and down the street. Behind him, a man from the shadows, whom Luis hadn't noticed when he walked into the small bar, makes himself known. He's dressed as Dracula, his skin perfectly made up, so that it is the colour of boiled bones, his cape silky black, his hair coiled and oiled into a snaky pile atop his head. He works in an office. Beneath his cape, he's still wearing his suit. But tonight is the 31st of October, so like everybody else, he's taken the opportunity to dress up, to become someone else. "I like your costume," says the woman, leaning in the gap between the bar and the window. Luis smiles. "Thank you," he says, even though he isn't wearing a costume. "You're the best ghost I've seen today. Not many people go for ghosts. I suppose they find them rather boring. But you're so grey," she says, running the back of her hand half a millimetre off the surface of Luis's cold cheek. "You almost feel like a ghost." "That's because I am one," says Luis with a wink. "Tell me," he says, "why did you have to be a witch?" "I know," says the woman, looking down at her chalky white breasts, bursting from her silky black dress, her stockings and her gleaming stilettos. "I'm a bit of a stereotype, aren't I? But this is my bar. People like stereotypes in bar. I wanted to be a witch tonight, but there is just one thing." She leans and looks into Luis's grey eyes. "Can't you tell?" she says. "This is the true colour of my eyes. I am a witch. I am a stereotypical, real witch." Luis nods. He looks out of the window into Calle Portugal. "Every day I wake up and think to myself, who shall I be today?" he says. "I can't help the fact that I always choose me." The bar owner laughs again as she watches a couple of living dead creatures splattered in blood with deep wounds in their necks walk thoughtfully up the street. "You've never had a baby," says the woman. "Imagine having to accommodate two such people in the same body. When I was pregnant, I first felt as if I was being invaded by another. Then I felt as if I had become another. And then it seemed to me as if I shared my existence with another." perhaps I haven't expressed that correctly with others, as if I had become a member of a community, one of whom was a landlady. If your body is your own personal real estate to do with as you please, then perhaps you become a mere individualist, whatever your existential preference. Luis shakes his head. He'd never been pregnant. He didn't want to feel excluded. And he didn't want to be a mere individualist. Then, with some relief, he remembered his own time in his mother's womb, sharing a body, transforming it. Then he remembered the umbilical cord, and he thought about the railway tracks. "What are you looking for?" asks the woman with a sigh, reading Luis's thoughts. "My friends," said Luis, "they're not safe in this kind of environment. They're very unstable. They've lost something." "Anything I might have seen?" "A briefcase," says Luis. "I haven't seen one of those," says the woman. "At least not unaccompanied." Luis casts his eye up and down the street. Some teenagers dressed like zombies with huge scars across their faces and skeletons painted on their arms and legs walk past like animated corpses from one of Goya's battlefields. "Hadn't you better go?" "I don't think I've much more to say," says the woman. "You should try and find your friends before it's too late." Luis finishes his drink. It's almost dark outside. The noise of Halloween parties fills the air. Town is packed with revelers. Firecrackers explode in the distance. Luis sticks his hand out to shake the woman's hand. She extends hers. Their hands pass through one another without touching. They stare at each other. They are both terrified.
Yo opino del circuito de Barcelona, nada que la...